Thank you, Mr. Sanny. And good day to everyone. First day of unleavened bread. To those out in cyberland and people here, a very joyous occasion. The title of my split sermon today is Peter from Fisherman to Fisher of Men. Now, fishing was an important occupation in Galilee during Christ's time. Bethesda, an ancient Galilean fishing village, is mentioned 7 times in Scripture, and it was located in the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. The place derives its name from words meaning place of nets or fishery. In the book Independent Record, updated February the 6th, 2015, I quote from an article, Biblical Facts About Fishermen, Fishing, and Fish, by Mark Wilson. In the best-known book and film about Montana, Norman McLean begins his semi-autobiographical, A River Runs Through It, by noting that in his family, there was no clear distinction between religion and fly fishing. He jokes that his father, a Presbyterian minister, always drew the attention of his sons to the fact that all first-class fishermen on the Sea of Galilee were fly fishermen, and that John, the favorite, was a dry fly fisherman. Is there then something extraordinarily spiritual about fish and the pastime of fishing? No other sport even comes close to the quantity and quality of literature devoted to it. The most widely printed book in the English literature is the Bible. The second most widely printed book in English literature, believe it or not, the complete works of William Shakespeare. Ranking third is The Complete Angler by Isaac Walton, first printed in England in 1653. Now, according to Matthew 4 and verse 18, Peter was a fisherman from Bethesda. The 3 synoptic gospels recount how Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus in their home in Capernaum. Matthew 8, verse 14, And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. This passage clearly depicts Peter as being married. Reportedly born in A.D. 1 in Bethesda, Peter was in a partnership with James and John in a fishing business. Peter, or Simon, as his name was then, met Jesus after his brother Andrew heard John the Baptist proclaim Jesus as the Lamb of God. In John 1 and verse 35, again, the next day, after John stood and 2 of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Upon meeting Simon, Jesus gave him the nickname of Cephas in Aramaic, or Peter in Greek, meaning rock or stone. John 1, verse 42. John 1, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Later, after the miracle of fish, Peter left his chosen profession to follow Jesus. Luke 5, Luke 5 and verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter, who earns his name for being impetuous, shows himself to be so to the point of rashness in several instances. Matthew 14 and verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter left the boat and promptly takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. It was Peter who took Jesus aside to rebuke him for speaking of his death. Matthew 16 and verse 22. Matthew 16 and verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. It was Peter who suggested erecting three tabernacles to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Matthew 17 and in verse 4. Then answered Peter, said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. It was Peter who drew his sword and attacked the servant of the high priest. It was Peter who boasted that he would never leave or forsake Jesus. Matthew 26 and verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. Through all of this, Jesus remained a faithful and forgiving guide to Peter. I was particularly impressed by the way Jesus handled Peter after knowing his nature and predicting from that nature that Peter would indeed deny him three times before the cock crowed that fateful night. We do not read of Jesus rebuking or chastising Peter for that denial. When the third denial was pronounced by Peter with an affirming oath, Jesus had to look across the courtyard into Peter's eyes to get the message across. Thus began a profound change in Peter's life. From the simple, unlearned fisherman to the dynamic and faithful servant. Jesus calls Peter aside later, and without dragging that embarrassing incident before Peter again, Jesus teaches a profound lesson in growth and true commitment to Peter. Maybe by coincidence or by design, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loves him. In John, the 21st chapter, we read of this discourse. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, love you me? And he said unto him, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, do you love me? He said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I cannot help but think that Peter is by now recalling that night. He denied Jesus those three times after boasting of his undying loyalty to Jesus, even unto the grave. Peter was not going to make that same mistake again in his lifetime. Peter had his faults and could be influenced in many ways, especially before he was converted, so much so that he became a prime target for Satan. Jesus tells Peter of this in Luke 22 and in verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. According to how this reads, Satan asked permission from Christ to have Peter so he could sift him, much as a farmer would sift wheat to separate one thing from another. The farmer did this to get the good kernels of wheat, but Satan wanted to sift away any good Peter may have had and leave only the bad, which could be used to Satan's purpose. Satan already had Judas, who was a thief, but wanted Peter. I can only surmise that Satan could do a lot more harm if he had Peter to execute his evil purposes. We note Christ did not rebuke Satan, but prayed for Peter that his faith not fail. Jesus also informed Peter that when conversion did come to him, he was to strengthen his brethren. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. He was present when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit in Acts 8. And he was at the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius, who believed and received the Holy Spirit in Acts 10. Even as an apostle, Peter had growing pains. He at first resisted taking the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile, but when he saw the Romans receive the Holy Spirit in the same manner he had, Peter concluded that God does not show favoritism. Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10 and verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Peter learned at Antioch not to be a hypocrite about fellowshipping with Gentile Christians. Peter wrote two inspired epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, between A.D. 60 and A.D. 68, foretold by Jesus in John 21 that he would die a martyr's death. It was fulfilled during Nero's reign. Peter, a humble fisherman, born without fame or fortune, plagued by his own nature, went on to become an object case in overcoming that nature, to fulfill what Jesus saw within him. We are like Peter, common people, most of us, called to learn from our Savior. Peter learned whether stepping out of a boat onto a tossing sea or stepping over the threshold of a Gentile house for the first time, Peter found courage following Christ. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. After boasting his fidelity, Peter went on to deny Christ 3 times. Jesus did not make that failure the end for Peter. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Peter needed correction many times over. Jesus gave it with patience, with firmness, and with love. Psalms 32, Book of Psalms, chapter 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. The very first time Jesus saw Simon, he called him Peter, a rock. This rough and reckless fisherman was in Jesus' eyes a firm and faithful rock. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. During this time, the days of unleavened bread, we need to realize that Jesus uses unlikely heroes. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee, but Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. Because Peter was willing to leave all that he had to follow Jesus, God used him in great ways. You would think that the last thing Peter needed to hear from his Lord, that day on the beach, was what Jesus told him. But if you consider that before, Simon Peter, the fisherman, failed time and time again at being faithful and loyal to Jesus. Jesus was telling the soon-to-be Spirit-filled Peter, this time, the fisher of men, that he would be successful in obedience to the death, even martyrdom. Peter, folks, was going to make it. He had the assurance of his Lord and Master. What joy unspeakable this must have filled him with. On the other side of the days of unleavened bread, greatness awaits us, brethren. Like Peter, let us, as it says in 1 Peter 1, and I'll end with this, verses 6 through 9, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus, whom, not having seen, you love, and whom, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Have a very blessed day, 7th Lenten Breath.